Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Luke 22, verse 24. I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. So, the disciples, they were serving Jesus. And one time, they are having a little argument and they are bickering. They hadn't quite reached a place of maturity yet in the spiritual realm at this point. And it says, verse 24, the disciples bickered over which one of them would be considered the greatest in the kingdom. Jesus interrupted their argument, saying, the kings and men of authority in this world rule oppressively over their subjects, claiming that they do it for the good of the people. They are obsessed with how others see them. But this is not your calling. You will lead by a different model. The greatest one among you will live as one called to serve others without honor. The greatest honor and authority is reserved for the one who has a servant heart. The leaders who are served are the most important in your eyes. But in the kingdom, it is the servants who lead. Am I not here with you as one who serves you? Hallelujah. This is powerful. The way of the kingdom of God is backwards from the way of the world. In the way of the world, and this is what Jesus is saying now. He's saying the people in this world, they are obsessed with how people see them. The leaders who are served are the most important in your eyes. In this world, the most important looking ones are the ones who are served, are the ones who have great reputations, who look important. That's who's seen as the greatest in this world, in the world's way. And we are in this world, and we are not naturally spiritual, but we are being transformed to be spiritual, to be mature. And so there's some things in our flesh that we have to get out of us. And they don't just happen naturally. They don't just happen immediately when you become a Christian. But you have to do the spiritual work. You have to seek God. You have to renew your mind. You have to humble yourself for the things of your flesh to go down and you to become spiritual, become Christ-like. And this characteristic right here of a mature disciple is a big one that is naturally not in us, that we have to work spiritually to get to that place of being a servant. That is who we are called to be, is be servants. Servants to God and servants to people. We are called to be vessels of God to release him to this world. We are called to serve people, to heal, to deliver, to love them, to do anything to make help them to know the love of God more. We are called to serve the kingdom, whatever that looks like, whatever is needed to be done for the kingdom of God work to be advanced. The mundane things, the exciting things, the not exciting things, the fun things, the not fun things, the really unglamorous things, the dirty work, whatever is needed to advance the kingdom, we're called to do that. And there's a lot of unglamorous parts of making the kingdom of God advance. There's a lot of not fun, parts. But this is all that we are called to. This is why we are here on this earth, to be servants of people and of God, so that his kingdom can advance. That's how the kingdom advances, is when we serve. When we come to the attitude of serving, that's actually when the kingdom of God advances. And so that's not naturally in us to serve. Naturally, we are selfish people. Naturally, we think of ourselves first before others. Naturally, it's not an instinct to serve. But we are called to literally be a servant. Like, that is part of our identity. I am a servant of God. And I am on this earth to serve people. And Jesus says right here that actually the greatest one among you will serve as one called to serve others without honor. So that means that we are called to be servant heart through and through, meaning we're not serving with other motives. We're not serving to get something, but we are serving because we love Jesus and we love people. That's it. We are doing it. We don't care if we get any honor, if we get any applause. We don't care. We just know I'm a servant. This is what I'm called to do. People can see me. People cannot. I'm not doing it for any honor. I'm doing it because this is who I am. I'm a servant of God. God sees. We can't fool God. He sees our hearts, and He will never miss when you are serving Him. He sees it all. And this is how one is promoted in the spiritual realm. And in Mark 9:33-37 Passion Translation, here, this is another scenario we see in a different gospel of where the disciples were arguing, bickering amongst themselves about this same topic. And Jesus says to them, if anyone wants to be first, he must be content to be last and become a servant to all. So the meaning of that is that the most servant heart is who God sees as first, is who God lifts, is who God can use the most mightily. That's who. The one who has that heart to serve. Amen? This is backwards from the world. In the world's way, you think to get ahead, you have to be seen. You have to look important. But this is opposite in the kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah. So this is so important for us to understand. Like, we have in our hearts, I want to be used mightily by God, and I want to fulfill my purpose. And there's such a temptation to be walking in it right now and skip ahead of God's timing. But God's timing is perfect. And many times, usually, God's timing is different than ours. It comes much later than ours. We can feel that urgency. I want to do what God's called me to do. I want to be in my calling now. Man, we're burning for that. And many times we think we need to take things into our own hands to make that to happen. Many times we think we are not doing enough. Many times we'll try to jump ahead of God because we so badly want to get in that place. Maybe it's to be worship leader. Maybe it's to be preacher. Maybe it's to start your own church. Whatever it is, we can feel that urgency. So many times we have that calling. It was spoken upon us. This is your calling. Many times we just feel in our heart, this is my calling. But many times we get too anxious and we feel like we are not doing enough. I'm stuck. I'm stagnant. But before God can launch your calling, before He can lift you to the place where He can use you mightily for His glory, you have to go through that process where He makes your heart to be a servant heart completely, because it's not naturally there. We have to go through that process. We cannot skip out on it. And the way that God gives you this servant heart through and through is by you serving and you serving and you serving more. You serving in the places it's not fun, the places it's not seen, the places you don't want to serve. That's where that servant heart is formed. And it does not happen overnight. It does not happen in 1 month, 6 months, 1 year usually. It happens over time, serving and serving and serving again, until you don't have any of those other motives, any of those other intentions. You don't have any of those selfish ambitions anymore. your identity is completely, I'm a servant of God. This is who I am. I'm called to serve the people. It takes time for God to mold that heart. We have to be patient with God's molding of that heart. Many times people look at people really walking in their calling, and it looks so exciting and it looks so fun. And for me, it's like about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, is when God really like launched me in my calling of what I'm called to do. I was called to be an apostle and to reach the nations and to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. This was prophesied upon my life almost 5 years ago this September. This is my specific calling. But I was not seeing any of that until about a year ago. I was an apostle, yes, but I was not seeing reaching the nations. I was not seeing signs, wonders, and miracles happening. I wasn't seeing revival. And even though it was prophesied upon my life, it wasn't the next day or even the next year that I was really walking in my calling. And it's so important for you all to know that, man, there is a process before the fun, exciting time of your calling. There is a process. It doesn't just happen quick. When I started getting more serious about God, when this hunger arose in me, when I moved to L.A., I moved to L.A., it was about in 2013. And as soon as I got to L.A., this hunger arose in me where I just wanted God more than ever before. I started seeking him more than ever before. I got involved with a church. It's a lukewarm church. It was before I encountered the power of God. But it was a big church, and there was just a lot of different places you could serve. And God really pressed upon my heart the importance of serving, the importance of serving him. And so I started to serve. And when I started to serve there, my desire was I wanted to sing on the worship team because singing to God was my absolute greatest passion. So that was what I wanted to do. But that's not what was planned for me. That's not what God had planned for me. I had to surrender how I wanted to serve to God and just take that away and be, I'm a servant of God, not a servant of God how I want to be. But I'm simply a servant of God. Wherever God wants me to serve, that's what I'll do. I had to change my mind and be like that, have that heart. And so I just started serving different places you could serve. I started serving, welcoming people and handing out cards and things like that, and doing the offering buckets. I started doing that, and I would be there several services per Sunday. Then I served on with the children's ministry. I led worship for the children. There's a children's service. And then I was just going wherever there was a need. All of a sudden they asked me to like do a little skit, kind of a message skit thing for the children. I didn't really want to do that, but I said, okay, this is where God needs me. Then they needed someone to give a Sunday school lesson. I felt like I didn't really know how to do that. But I said, oh, God wants me to go there. There's a need there. Okay, I'll go. I'll get out of my comfort zone. And then one day I also served with the youth, with the high schoolers. I served there. Then one day I'm just walking around serving in one of those areas, and one of the leaders says to me, can you be production manager? Which is like you wear a headset. And you run. I mean, this is a big church with a lot of fancy lights, and production, very. They're very serious. Like the timing, like the pastor needs to come on at the exact moment, and the worship band needs to come on the exact moment. And there's a clock, and there's a countdown, and all of that. So they said, "Will you be a production manager?" And I could tell he just saw my heart of serving. So he just was like, we need someone. And he didn't know that I was not a technical person at all. I was not a technical person at all. It's my weakness. I'm not good at that. But he just asked me, and I did not want to do it at all. At all. I'm like, technical stuff. Oh, my goodness. And but I just felt God saying, you're needed here, so go do it. So I did it. And it entailed being there at about 5 a.m. There was like 4 services and only like 1.5 hour break for lunch. And I had to do all of those services the entire day. It's not paid. It's just serving. So I was there from like 5 a.m. and then had to lead a Bible study sometimes at 5 a.m. and then with the team. And then I was there till about 9-something p.m. throughout the whole day. And oh my goodness, it was so nerve-wracking. I had to cue them at the exact time. I had to say all these technical terms. Cue lights. Stand by with the pastor. Go for the pastor. Stand by worship team. Go worship team. I'm saying this and there's all this just so much pressure. It was not fun at all. I felt so nervous, stressed doing that. But this is what God called me to do. I just wanted to serve him wherever was needed. So I did that. I did that for a long time. I did all those serving things every single week, most of the day, for years. And this is before I even encountered the power of God. But I see, looking back now, God was preparing me to have a servant heart. Not only that, but he one day, I didn't know I was going to be a pastor, an apostle one day, but God knew. So he was taking me all the different parts of the church, having me serve every little part, and also have compassion for people in all those different places of serving, you know? And so that was my first time just really serving God, God developing that servant heart in me. And then I encountered the power of God. 9 months later, after I surrendered, after I encountered the power of God, I went to a conference. My now spiritual father, Prophet Drew Davey, he prophesied to me at this conference, and he prophesied to me that I was called to be an apostle, I was called to reach the nations, and this big prophecy. And later on, God led it to be that he would be my spiritual father. And then I entered this new phase of serving God, and God really spoke to my heart how he's like Elijah, I'm like Elisha. Like, this is the way of receiving anointing, is to serve where God's called you to, under that covering of where that anointing is going to flow in your life as you sow there, as you sow specifically there, continually. Not going here, there, everywhere, but staying planted and serving that anointing. And that's how it was with Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was a powerful servant of God, was a prophet, and he was walking in signs, wonders, and miracles, doing amazing work for God. And one day, he called Elisha. Elisha, come. Come, be my servant. And Elisha just goes. And we just see in this story of Elijah and Elisha, Elijah just stays with Elijah, goes with him everywhere. He is a servant of Elisha. Elisha had this revelation that what God was doing through Elijah was so precious and powerful. Elisha had this revelation that Elijah, he wasn't seeing Elijah as this man he's serving, but he was seeing the work of God he was serving. So as he was serving Elijah, Elijah was completely about the work of God. That was his life. And so when Elisha was serving Elijah, Elisha saw it as, I am serving God. I am doing powerful work. I am I'm helping make the kingdom of God to advance so mightily. And I'm blessed and honored to be able to serve this powerful work of God that's happening through Elijah. That was the revelation that Elisha had. And so Elisha's even tested in this. Elijah was like, I'm gonna go over here. You can stay here, Elisha. And Elisha says, no, I'm not leaving you. I'm called to be your servant. I'm serving God as I serve you. And what's powerful is that Elisha, you know, we never see Elisha getting overly excited about receiving a mantle from Elijah. We see him just staying focused. I'm a servant. I'm honored. I'm privileged to just be a servant. I don't need to be seen. I'm so excited about what God is doing through Elijah. I'm just so blessed that I can play a part in this work of God. He's just staying there in that place, focused just on serving. And then one day, the anointing comes upon him. He receives a double mantle. At this place, a double portion of that mantle. At this place, he knows that Elijah's about to go and he wants to see the work go forth. So he says, I'll take double portion, but it's for the kingdom. It's not for selfish purposes. When the time had come. But for a long time, for years, he was focused on serving Elijah. He wasn't chasing ahead of God's timing. He was content just being a servant, whatever that looked like. Amen? That's powerful revelation for us. That's powerful lesson we can take. Hallelujah. So God really gave me that revelation. Like, he's like, you're Elijah. And like, you're Elisha. Like, the way God moved through him, I'd never seen that before. It was the first time I saw mass deliverance. It was the first time I'd seen demons leave with such ease. I mean, he carried such powerful anointing. It wasn't a struggle. I had never seen the power of God like that through anybody. And I never encountered the power of God in my life and seen transformation like I had through my spiritual father. Never in my life. And so, like, when I saw him, it reminded me of how Elisha would have seen Elijah. Like, wow, what God is doing through you is so beautiful and amazing. I just want to do anything I can to help this work of God go forth. God really pressed that upon my heart. So even though shortly after he became my spiritual father, I was called to start Fivefold Church, and I was serving and I was doing work in the church here at Fivefold Church, God pressed upon my heart that serving him was still very important. And I should look at it as kingdom and not like my church, but like me serving him, that is powerful because it's the kingdom. I saw myself as like, well, I don't see many miracles happening here, but look at the mighty works happening there. You know, it humbled me. So any chance I had to be able to serve him, I jumped at it and I treated it like very, very important, like the most important work I've ever done. He came here to do a couple conferences. One of them was when he prophesied that revival is now. And when he came, I just treated him with such respect and like, what can I do? How can I serve him the most excellently? I drove getting details of the conference and hotel and everything, logistics. I just put so much care and sacrifice on my part to make sure I was serving the most excellent that I could. Amen? And any other time that I could serve him in that way, I was jumping to it. And I even saw it as a priority. I saw it as priority, like let me value this work of God serving here, because what God is doing through him is so powerful. And I never like was looking so much to now, to God using me so mightily. We should definitely desire God to use us mightily for his glory, but we should be kingdom minded first, not my ministry minded, you know? And so I was more just excited about how God was using him. I wasn't like itching, like, I can't wait till God uses me like that, you know? I just wanted people to encounter God's power. That's all I wanted. And so I focused on serving, not serving myself, not serving my platform or something, but just serving God, serving his kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah. And this was years. So this was years of being hidden and just serving and no one seeing. And for 4.5 years, ministry, my calling, it was not fun. It was uncomfortable most of the time. It was not exciting most of the time. It wasn't. And most of you know my biggest fear and weakness was public speaking. And so every Sunday getting up to preach was uncomfortable, was not fun. For me, this was another part of a servant heart that God was molding in me. I didn't enjoy really preparing sermons for hours and then preaching. It wasn't fun for me, but it was serving God. For other people, it can be fun to preach. But for me, this was a place where God was molding that servant heart in me more. Also, once I got this revelation, how the greatest among you is the one that serves. Once I got this revelation that to reach my calling, to be who God wanted me to be, I needed to have this servant heart through and through. I felt convicted to be a servant wherever I went with whoever I was with. So years ago, when the church first started, I mean, sometimes we would go to lunch or things afterwards, or I would always just be like, where do you want to go? I just practiced just denying myself always and serving any way I could, putting the other person first always, and always having that awareness of how can I serve this person? How can I love them? How can I be a servant to them? And what, just hanging out with them. How can I be a servant? How can my words serve them? I want to make sure my words are serving to them. All through this time, God was molding a servant heart in me. And I wanted to share this with you because I think so many times people look at people's callings and it looks fun and exciting, but you need to understand that to get there, you can't jump God's process. You can't skip it. You won't make it. You have to go through this process of getting this servant heart. And serving is not glamorous. It's not fun or exciting, really. And God will take you through places where you're not seen, where what you're doing is not seen, because that's how he forms the most servant kind of heart in you to the extreme. Amen? Hallelujah. I think about Elisha's heart so much, about how you can really see Elisha's heart, that story of like, I will always stay with you. I'm serving you and I'm never going to stop serving you. And it shows that he wasn't trying to jump past God's plan. There's some people that can kind of get impatient where they are, thinking that things aren't moving. But when you are serving, I'm telling you, you are doing the most important work in the world. You are literally going more forward and forward every day, closer to your calling, the fulfillment of your calling. God sees everything that you do that's service. God sees it. None of it goes unnoticed. And this is what's backwards in the world's way. Like, in the world, if you're serving God, if you're serving at the church, people in the world can say you're wasting your time. People in the world can say, what is this even doing? How is you? You could be doing other things that would make your career go forth. But instead, you're doing this, that nothing's happening. This is how the world sees it. But it's a God who lifts. It's God who promotes. And there's not a single true vessel of God on this earth. There's not a single one who has skipped this process of this service, serving God again and again, getting everything selfish out, being in the hidden secret place where no one sees. There's not a single servant of God that's really a true servant of God you see today. They've all gone through that. They've all gone through uncomfortable, not fun, not exciting for a while. Oh, maybe there's some people that exalt themselves, but that's not God. You can't skip it. Amen? Hallelujah. It's the way forward. It's not a waste of time. It's the most valuable use of your time is to serve God. I'm telling you. God then took me through all these different seasons of serving. Then it was editing videos. I didn't know how to edit videos, but God said to me, the way that this revival is going to spread and the way people are going to hear about this revival and receive the miracles is through a one-minute video. So God said, you need to put one-minute videos on every social media platform. I didn't know how to edit. I taught myself how to edit because otherwise it wouldn't have gotten done. And I spent hours editing. I'd spend 12, 13-hour days editing for years. God convicted me. I didn't have any social life. I didn't go out and do things fun a lot of the time. Not saying we shouldn't do that. Don't hear me wrong. I'm just saying, God was taking me through a new season of molding my heart to be a servant to the extreme. That he took me through, it was a couple years where I was spending 8 to 12 hour days editing videos, editing sermons, editing 1 minute videos, that through all those 3 years had very few views. On YouTube, they'd get about 5 views when I would spend 8 hours editing a sermon. For years. For years. But God was molding the servant. This is who you are. You are a servant. You are a servant to the people. Forget yourself. Forget your own desires. You are a servant. He was molding this heart in me. And then comes now this exciting time, the most exciting part thus far of my walk with God, ever since receiving the prophecy I was called to be an apostle. This past year, seeing now fulfillment of the prophecies, seeing hundreds here, hundreds of you here coming every week and receiving miracles. Hallelujah. Traveling across the world and seeing people across the world in different countries receive miracles, be set free, healed. Hallelujah. Now I can say for the first time as of a year ago that it's fun and exciting serving God. For the first time, I can tell you that. Now, before then, I had complete content and the most peace and joy in my life because I was in God's will. And it's intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It's relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's what fills every contentment void, peace and joy. Nothing else can fill that. So I got to that place. Being in God's will, that's what made me happy. So I was happy. I had peace. I had joy. I had contentment. But it was not fun and exciting most of the time. So now we get to the place years later after the servant heart being formed. Now it's fun and exciting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But even though it's fun and exciting, there's something that hasn't changed. I am a servant of the Lord. If people actually like lived my life, I think a lot of people would be like, I'm good. If there's people that want to be like me or something, you know, and do exactly what I do, I think a lot of people would be like, I'm good. Because what happens is the greater responsibility that you have, the more service is required. We are all called to serve with our whole lives, but we naturally cannot be servants to people like 24/7. That takes that process I've been explaining to you this whole time. That's how that heart is molded. And you become Christ-like where you're just like, I'm a servant of God. You've forgotten yourself. Like this past year, I can probably count, and Jean-Tal's included in this, we can count on the numbers of with our fingers, the amount of days, full days we've had off. Full days we've had to do something fun and exciting. And there is a time and season for everything. It's not like life will always be this way. God wants us to have days off. Don't hear me wrong. It's important to rest. It's important to go and do fun things. Absolutely. God loves that. And that's God's blessings and reward. Absolutely. But there's different callings and there's also different seasons. And so if you have a certain calling, you might be called to have less days off and less fun things to do than the average person. And there's also a time and season for everything. The Bible says that there's a time to plant and there's a time to reap. And there was a time I was planting and it was still long hour days, like I was explaining with the editing, so many hours. So through that, I look back and I see God was training me to work harder than ever for him and to not have a lot of downtime and fun time. He was training me through that time. I was wondering, why am I spending all this time and people aren't even getting the views? It feels like a waste of time. But God was molding my heart. He was training me to get to this place where I am now, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to do it. I'd be like, this is too much. but also in that time of planting, I had more time, even though it was a lot of hours, I had more time to take time off, relax, unwind and everything, and even travel home once in a while to see mom and dad or something, or a vacation somewhere maybe once in a year or something. That was a time of planting, but now it's a time of harvest. The Bible says there's a time of planting and a time of harvest. So now it's a time of harvest. Harvest. So in this season, God has me going nonstop, pretty much. It's a season. It's a specific season of harvest. It won't always be like this. But we have to, we do have to get out of the religious construct, number one, of the religious mindset of you have to have 1 or 2 days off completely. You know? True rest, it means resting in God every day of your life. Resting in all that you do. You're resting in Him. Knowing that He's helping you. He's the one giving you the power to do all the work. That's what true rest is. Not you have to take a day off completely. It'll look different. Amen? And we also have to get out of the worldly entitlement of, I'm entitled to 2 days off every week to just, you know. So what I'm telling you now, like how I'm describing my life, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing God is leading me to. And so that's when I said, if some of you like wanted to be do exactly what I'm doing, if you lived my life or saw how it is, you probably would say I'm good. You're probably like, I enjoy my days off once in a while. But I'm very content. I've been happier. I'm happier than ever in my life. But it's because there's a grace upon me. But that grace is only upon me because I went through the process of allowing God to mold that servant heart in me. So now I don't feel like I'm missing out on things. I don't feel, I mean, Chantal and I are never home lately. I mean, lately God has us going crazy. It's amazing. Like we flew in yesterday. I ran to do errands. I took a nap because I was too tired after 2 hours of sleep because our flight was at 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. And I took a couple hour nap, did errands, edited a video. I'm still editing all the videos. Edited the video, very tired. And so that people could see this testimony and people could be fed daily, not missing being fed. And had to get some things, had to pick up my travel item things that I'm ran out of and get dinner and go to bed and pack early this morning. And then we're leaving to the airport after church today, going to Washington. That's where we're going. Washington tomorrow and Oregon later on this week. Hallelujah. Yes, this is revival. It's exciting. But I mean, you could think like, wow, I'm never home. This is crazy. I just wish I could be home. But God has changed my mind because He's changed me so much to be, I'm a servant. I don't think I'm entitled to anything. You know, that's how we should be. I'm not entitled to anything. This is a blessing. There are some uncomfortable parts about being in the plane, scrunched all the time, of course. But this is a blessing. It's worth it. This is God's blessing, people. It's worth it being scrunched in a plane quite a lot for people to be set free. It's worth it. You have to have that perspective of, I'm a servant. I'm not entitled to fancy seats, airline seats, you know. I'm a servant of God, you know. And that's honestly what's given me strength and constant peace and joy and energy to preach so frequently and come back here every Sunday and travel so much and hardly ever be home and hardly ever have any time off and do something fun is God molded my heart to be, I'm a servant of God. So I'm just like, I'm a servant of God. This is who I am. I'm not entitled to fun days. And then when they come, the blessings, we were in Santorini. It was John Tall and I's dream, both of ours, to go to Santorini, Greece. And we just happened to have a day off. And so we made the most of that day. We had just the most blessed times. Our dreams came true and we soaked it in. Of course we thought, man, it'd be nice to have more days, but we didn't feel entitled. I didn't feel entitled. I'm a servant of God. This is such a blessing to have one day here. Yes. And people ask me that. How do you do it? How do you get back every Sunday? How do you travel so often? Go, 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 go. How? And honestly, like, this is the key. Is having that heart being molded to where I'm not who I used to be, but now I'm a servant of God. That's who I am. I'm not a person entitled to a certain amount of days off and home. And no, I'm a servant of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And in John 4, this is powerful. So Jesus had just ministered to the Samaritan woman at the well, and she was then about to go tell so many people, everyone she knew, about the miracles she encountered through Jesus. And then it says that so many then came to Jesus through her. And this is actually like the start of the revival, the start of the harvest. Because this woman of Jesus' ministry, so this woman, she went on to tell all her friends and everyone she knew about Jesus, about the miracles she received through him. Meanwhile, the disciples come back. They had gotten food while Jesus was ministering to her. And they have food. And they're like, Jesus, don't you want some food? Aren't you hungry? And he then says, my food is to do the will of my Father. John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food, nourishment, is to do the will, the pleasure of him who sent me, and to accomplish and completely finish his work. It was right after that, or right around that time, is when he says, you guys think that the harvest is many months from now, but I'm telling you, it's right now. So it's powerful timing for Jesus to say that, for him to like deny physical food and be like, no, this is my food. Because Jesus was 100% human, 100% God. So he did need food to eat. We all need food to eat. Amen? So it's not like he was saying, no, my food is to do the will of God. I don't want food. That's bad to eat food. You know, he wasn't saying that. But in that season of life, this was harvest, revival time, you know, serving God to the extreme time. And so the things of the natural world that are normal, that the people of the world need, or just normal people need, he didn't want. He says, this is my food. This is my nourishment, to be a servant of God, to do God's will. This is what gives me nourishment. I don't need that other stuff. And that's the secret that I want to reveal to you. Like, honestly, I feel more nourishment ministering than a day off or a day doing something fun. You see how it like feels backwards? Like, you have to have the day, the certain day every time. But I literally feel the most nourishment to do God's work, to serve. And there's so many times I don't want to. I feel tired. There's so many times I go live when I'm like, I just want a night off, but I haven't ministered to the people online in a while because I've been traveling so much. But I do it, and this is the nourishment. This is the true nourishment. Sure, our feelings can say something different, but our spirit, this is what nourishes us. This is what nourishes me, to serve God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And then I lastly want to share with you how this message is so important. It is one of the big keys of how to walk in the anointing of God. When you serve, that anointing comes upon your life. I'm telling you, this is how it happened with Elisha. It was because he served Elijah. He served the work of God where the anointing was, that anointing came upon his life. Amen. And in Matthew 26, verse 6, Passion Translation, it says, then Jesus went to Bethany, to the home of Simon, a man Jesus had healed of leprosy. A woman came into the house holding an alabaster flask filled with fragrant and expensive oil. She walked right up to Jesus, and in a lavish gesture of devotion, she poured out the costly oil, and it cascaded over his head as he was at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were offended. What a total waste, they grumbled. We could have sold it for a great deal of money and given it to the poor. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, why are you critical of this woman? She has done a beautiful act of kindness for me. You will always have someone poor whom you can help, but you will not always have me. When she poured the fragrant oil over me, she was preparing my body for burial. I promise you that as this wonderful gospel spreads all over the world, the story of her lavish devotion to me will also be mentioned in memory of her. Now, there's a powerful principle of receiving the anointing that's found in this passage. There's powerful revelation to be had. And that's, you know, this was an act of service. She was serving Jesus. She was giving the most expensive perfume, something very costly. She was giving her all. She was surrendered. She was giving everything to God. And that represents us serving God, giving our everything, giving what's precious to us, giving what's expensive to God. And other people didn't understand. Other people can tell you serving God, you're wasting your time. Other people can tell you you're serving God and you giving money to the work of God, you could have given money somewhere else. This is what the people of the world will say. But when she left that place, you know, she poured that anointing, and there's another in the Gospels, a different Gospel, it says how she wiped his feet with her hair. And when she left that place, she was smelling like Jesus. She was smelling like the anointed one. She poured that perfume, she wiped it with her hair, and she left smelling like him. That's powerful, amen? When you serve God, you become smelling like him, like the anointed one. You start speaking like him. You start acting like him, thinking like him, being like him. And the anointing is released through you because it's powerfully in you, because you served him. That's how it comes. Amen. And this is powerful. I mean, the disciples are saying, the other people are saying, what you're doing is stupid. What you're doing is a waste. Why are you doing this? So they were shaming her, accusing her. But Jesus says that what she did was so great. It was so great that the story of what she has done will be mentioned as often as the gospel is spread. That's powerful. Do you see how Jesus lifted the humble, promoted the one who was serving, the one with a servant heart? That's what made her name to be shared. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God sees you. He sees you. And this is the way to fulfill your calling. This is the way to receive the anointing, is to serve him. So that servant heart is molded in you. So you are a true servant of God through and through. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.